Welcome to the Azure for Industry podcast. We're your hosts, David Starr and Paul Marr. In this podcast, you hear from thought leaders across various industries discussing technology trends and innovation, sharing how Azure is helping transform business. You'll also hear directly from Microsoft thought leaders on how our products and services are meeting industry's continually evolving needs. So we're all aware that energy sustainability is an important topic, and today we'll be discussing what Microsoft is doing in this area to improve our own sustainability, but also we'll be talking about the great work of our customers and our partners. And today we're talking about Microsoft initiatives, solutions, and technologies in the energy sector with Daryl Willis. And Daryl is the Vice President of Energy at Microsoft. He's responsible for driving digital transformation all around the world for companies within oil and gas, mining, renewables, and power and utilities. So a lot of things on his plate. Now, we've been trying to get you on the show for a long time, Daryl, and it's a pleasure to finally be able to welcome you to the show. So pleasure for you to be here.
David, I'm excited about it, and I'm glad that we finally been able to connect.
Welcome to the show, Daryl. Great to have you here. So let's kick things off. And so, you know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your team, your mission at Microsoft for the listeners?
The one thing I would say, Paul, is that I'm really passionate about energy and I'm passionate about technology. And so when the opportunity presented itself for me to join Microsoft, I jumped at that opportunity because I know the mission of Microsoft really, really resonated with me. And I knew from my time in the oil and gas industry that Microsoft had deep relationships with the industry. And since I've been at Microsoft, I've been thinking hard at breathing life into our mission and the mission of our team. And our mission and vision for our energy team is really to power a sustainable future using innovative solutions and partner strategies that will enable us to help make the energy sector more efficient, to help make the workforce more productive, and really to ultimately help accelerate the energy transition, which is something that is really, really important, not only to Microsoft, but also to the world, as well as a disproportionate share of our customers. I would say our team is really driving, in my view, one of the company's most important priorities, which is around enabling the energy transition, particularly as Microsoft has made a commitment to get to net zero by 2030. We also kind of keep in mind that there's still on the planet today a billion people who do not have access to electricity and who are unable to participate in the modern global economy. And we want to do everything we can to make sure that everyone has access to energy in the decades to come.
Boy, that really is a tremendous mission. And it's exciting to hear about it. But I have just a fun question for you, and I have to ask it. So for those of us who will never know what it's like, what is it like to have your own Wikipedia page?
Well, David, I would say that it's pretty weird. And the reason I say that is because I have no earthly idea who created that Wikipedia page on my behalf. It was actually created. I know when it was created, but I don't know who created it. And I'm not even sure who's maintaining it, but it was actually created in 2010 when I was working on the as a part of the claims process associated with response to the Deepwater Horizon incident in the Gulf of Mexico. And I would say just in one word, it's very, very weird to have that page. But on the other hand, it's kind of fun as well.
Let's use the power of the show and social here, David and Daryl. So for any listeners out there, if you were responsible for that Wikipedia page, we'd love to hear from you, and you'll have a new friend in Daryl.
Awesome.
That's great. As we mentioned, we've been talking about having you on the show for several months, and you wanted to wait a little while until we could have a discussion about some exciting announcements, one or two that you might have. So you have the floor. What kind of news do you have for us in the energy sector?
Wow, David, there's so much going on. And let me see where I'll start. I guess I'll start by saying that And I made this comment a minute ago that the energy transition is real and that the energy transition is underway, which is exciting. And if anything, I believe that the energy transition has been or is being accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic. If you look at, for example, what's happened to the oil and gas industry, it's been dealt pretty much a 1-2 punch. Oversupply has been driven by technological success in the U.S., complicated by demand destruction as a result of the world pretty much sheltering in place during the first quarter of 2020, has created something that I've never seen happen in my 30 years in the energy sector, which is oil prices going negative for the first time. That happened this year in April 2020. But what's interesting is that all of the challenges that the energy has faced has really caused them to embrace digital in a much more aggressive way and continue to focus on the journey to low carbon and no carbon sources of energy by 2050 or sooner. We've seen a lot of things happening around the world over the last several months. For example, the EU increased its emissions reduction target from 40% to 55% by 2030. We've also seen, this is really big, we've also seen China, global emitter, top global emitter to be specific, publicly talk about its aim to become carbon neutral by 2060. And this year, the U.S. is on track to produce more electricity from renewable energy than from coal for the first time ever, which is a pretty big deal. If you kind of shift to our customers, there have been some big moves across the industry. BP announced a 40% reduction in its oil and gas production that they'll deliver by 2030. In addition to that, they announced a tenfold increase in renewables energy investments from $500 million a year today to around $5 billion a year in 2030. And a couple of our other customers, Equinor, Shell, and Total, have announced plans to invest in a project called Northern Lights as a part of a full-scale carbon capture and sequestration project. And there are a host of companies around the world that have made commitments to net zero targets by 2050 or sooner across oil and gas companies, as well as power and utilities. If you look at some of the big announcements we've had in Microsoft, we've made a big announcement with big announcements in September with BP, and we also had one with Shell. And the strategic partnership with BP is really focused on driving digital energy innovation and advancing their net zero goals. One of the things that's nice is that companies are realizing that they do not need to go it alone. And they're looking for platforms and partners to help them with their ambitions. And that's what we're currently working on with BP. They're focused on things like smart and clean cities, clean energy parks, consumer energy, as well as the industrial IoT aspects of their business. Shell, we've expanded our relationship with Shell as well. And together we'll be working with them on artificial intelligence aspects of their business that in many cases already helping to transform their operations, particularly in the areas of safety and environmental stewardship and performance. Shell and Microsoft will also work on sustainable aviation fuels as well, which is pretty, pretty exciting. And just in the last couple of weeks, we announced a really exciting partnership with Alaska Airlines to reduce carbon emissions.
What is that about? I read an article and I thought, Microsoft and Alaska, how does that go together?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Well, you know, one of the things that we're interested in is really thinking about what kinds of partnerships could be helpful to everyone's journey towards net zero. And Alaska Airlines is a great example of that, where they are very much so focused on the environment and have a strong environmental agenda. And we even made our announcement. And between ourselves and Alaska Airlines and Sky NRG, we've decided to form a partnership that will allow us to use sustainable aviation fuels, SAF. They call it SAF, sustainable aviation fuels, on routes between Washington State, primarily Seattle, and Los Angeles, San Jose, and San Francisco airports. It's the first partnership of its kind, guys. And our hope is that other airlines will see this partnership that we've created and follow suit. So that's a little bit about what's happening around the energy patch and the world, and frankly, Microsoft as well.
Thanks, Darrell. That's great. Let's switch gears a little bit. And so from your perspective, and of course, you know, we'd be amiss if we didn't, of course, think about the changing times with COVID. I'd love to kind of get your perspective of what are the things that are at the forefront of the energy sector right now trends, technologies, or both. And, you know, if you think about, of course, Daryl, you know, you're thinking passionately about energy, opportunity, partnerships with Microsoft, helping the industry, technology, et cetera. You know, has that vision changed kind of pre and post COVID? You know, kind of what's your thoughts on the general impact and, you know, what does the future look like?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a great question, Paul. I think there are a handful of things that are happening, and some of them are new and some of them are being accelerated. So I will mention five things and maybe say a few more words about two or three of them. But five big things impacting the energy sector across oil and gas, power, utilities, and mining. The first one is COVID and the fact that digital transformation is being accelerated. The second is an incredible amount of momentum around sustainability across the entire spectrum. Third is really everyone's talking about including and tapping into more renewables and distributed energy resources and how those get brought back into the grid. And then there's an interesting conversation around this notion of a new energy consumer, a prosumer, an energy consumer who actually produces energy and wants to make a contribution back to the grid. And decentralization is real. And many of the power and utility companies are thinking about that. COVID, I would say, has truly caused the industry to hit the gas and do things that it thought it could not do. As a matter of fact, Satya Nadella talks about this when he talks about the impact of COVID on the world. And our customers and partners in particular, and the fact that many people have accelerated 2 years worth of digital transformation into 2 months. And so people are doing things that they plan to do in 2022 and beyond because the pandemic has forced it. And that's created an opportunity for efficiencies to be created and possibilities that were thought to be further out of reach. Sustainability goals, everyone we're talking to, in particular since Microsoft has made its announcement back in January about our sustainability goals, wants to work with us on sustainability and on things that can be done to help reduce the amount of carbon and CO2 in the atmosphere. And I mentioned this new energy consumer. It's really exciting. There are lots of conversations happening around e-mobility and smart city solutions and distributed energy resources and smart homes. Just a lot of exciting things happening.
It's great to hear. And just, you know, so as if you look back, is there anything that you feel has been put on the back burner? So, I mean, so it's great to hear, you know, kind of the industry thinking differently. It sounds like there's new innovation that's obviously been fast-tracked for given the environment. Is there anything that you kind of would reflect on saying that's being put to the wayside as well?
I think the thing that's been most interesting to me is the transformation that is underway, in particular right now, among the European oil and gas companies. They were so-called international oil companies, the IOCs. Many of them are in the process, have rebranded themselves from being considered IOCs, international oil companies, to being called IECs, integrated energy companies. And I mention that because if I think back to my career in industry, maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, the industry was really excited about developing new exploration acreage in countries that had not been explored in and looking for billion barrel oil fields. And that was the claim to fame and hallmark for the industry. But today, it's quite different. Companies like BP and Total, Equinor and Repsol are talking about the big deals they're doing with wind companies and solar companies and other aspects of renewable energy and battery companies and EV charging systems. So what was thought to be in vogue 10 years ago has totally shifted and is directly connected to the energy transition, which for me is incredibly exciting.
Thanks, Daryl. That's great. And yeah. Maybe a real life example, you know, we talk a lot about digital transformation and disruption. And I think, you know, that you've very well articulated some of the disruption and the change in thinking, which is good to hear. You know, as we think about, you know, there are over 50 solutions offered today on the Azure marketplace when looking at energy-related services running on Azure. Many of them focus on Azure AI and ML technologies. How is the energy sector and any thoughts you have on the Microsoft marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, Paul, I would say that it's having a huge impact on the energy sector. The energy sector in general has loves data and has lots of data, and it exists in a variety of forms. And so there's a huge opportunity across the sector to have that data better organized and deliver and derive more insights from that data. And I think that from my perspective, and I say this all the time, I see AI as an assistant to the industry and not a replacement for folks in the industry. And it's really an opportunity for a person, a technician in utilities or a technician in oil and gas or mining, to really get more insights from the data that will allow them to run their operations in a safer, more environmentally friendly, and more efficient way. I'll share a couple of examples of some things that we're seeing happening in the context of AI. So while developing new business models in 2020, utilities, this year, utilities will put 80% of their execution efforts into modernizing their core with an emphasis on AI to really help enhance and make customized operations more efficient. Another example, in the next couple of years, by 2022, 90% of the all majors will have deployed AI-powered applications to various processes ranging from automated drilling to cognitive seismic data analysis onto reservoir modeling. So these are areas where I think that data will truly benefit from artificial intelligence.
That's great. You know, just looking at, you know, kind of if you do a compare and contrast, you know, so what, if you thought about the ability that AI brings, so you talked about, obviously, you know, kind of it's not replacing physical humans, of course, doing tasks, but it sounds like you're seeing, if we do a kind of a compare and contrast, we're seeing the ability to be able to maybe automate, drive efficiencies in there, which is great to hear, and ultimately see new innovation, which is kind of really bringing together technology and people for much more efficiencies. So now let's look at maybe could you share a kind of an example of this in practice? Are there any customer stories you could share?
Yeah, so a few Christmas stories. That's one. And
I love it.
A couple of short ones and probably a little bit longer one. I'll talk about Xcel Energy. It's a utility company that is using AI, using an AI solution for their transmission line inspections to improve safety, the safety and reliability of the energy grid. Now, this one hit home for me personally because I'm today in New Orleans, and a couple of weeks ago when I was here, Hurricane Zeta came through New Orleans and our power was knocked offline for almost 3 days. And one of the things I witnessed in 2020 was utility trucks coming out and men with clipboards getting out of their trucks and doing inspections, and then someone coming back 3 days later to actually repair the lines, which I thought to myself, that's kind of very old school. And there's got to be a better way for us to restore power on the backside of a crisis. So Xcel has really created a solution that allows them to quickly inspect lines and get the grid back up and running and do it safely. I also think about EY and Microsoft and something that's happened in the context of the power and utility industry, which has really, really created an environment where customers 24 hours and 7 days a week have absolutely no wait time. The solution was pre-built, and it has actually taken the call of a cost in the power and utility sector down from $14 per call to $1 per call. And this uses Microsoft's AI services for language understanding, which is quite exciting. And lastly, I'll mention Chevron. Chevron's doing some interesting work using IoT and putting devices on heat exchanges across 5,000 heat exchanges around 100 countries. They're going to do this all in the next 3 or 4 years, with the goal being to really understanding where the weaknesses are in the systems that are being used to process energy, and making sure that any risk around those systems failing is mitigated. And this is using IoT and using sensors. Some really good examples from the power and utility and the oil and gas sector more broadly.
So that was a really great set of examples of IoT on the edge, really, which is a big deal at Microsoft, right? We're offering great services for that through Azure. One of the things I wanted to visit with you is your own personal mission, which you've expressed, and that is to help everyone in the world gain access to affordable heat, light, and mobility. You were talking earlier about how so many people around the world don't have access to just electricity. So how is working at Microsoft enabling you to realize that vision?
Yeah, David, this is one that's really, really important to me because prior to coming to Microsoft, I spent a couple of years working at Google. And prior to that, I was I found myself for 3 years living in the country of Angola, in the city of Luanda, working in an energy business there for BP, leading that business. And one of the things I had a chance to experience was what it looks like when you do not have access to continuous electricity. And it's something that we take for granted, particularly in the West. We walk into a room and plug in our phone and it gets charged. We walk into a room and turn on a light, it gets charged. In some places, people are still waiting for their first light or waiting for their first phone. So for me, doing everything I can to create the opportunity for every person on the planet to have access to affordable and clean, accessible heat, light, cooling if you need it, and mobility is incredibly important. And I brought that mission with me to Microsoft, but I also could see how it fits with Microsoft's overall mission around empowering every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Because when I think about every organization and every person and every customer and every partner, they all require energy. Energy actually literally makes the world go round. And we've got a huge responsibility to make sure it's doing that in the most efficient, ubiquitous, and effective way. And so when I think about my team, the industry team that we have, the industry team that we're continuing to build, we've identified four what we call industry priority scenarios. And we think of these as the levers that will allow us to truly impact the business. And there are four of them. One is operate for the future. The other is transformation of the workforce. And the last two are transition to clean and reimagining energy. And I'll say a word about the bookends. Operate for the Future is all about helping customers with energy conservation and energy efficiency and making sure the operations that are running around the world are safe, reliable, and minimally impacting the environment. Fast forward to the other end of the spectrum, Reimagine Energy is all about how the energy transition will help drive innovation and how customers can shape the future of energy with technology innovations to meet new customers' energy demands going forward. So it's really exciting stuff.
And now let's take a moment out to listen to this very important message.
Did you know the Microsoft Commercial Marketplace allows you to find and purchase leading Microsoft certified solutions from Microsoft partners? The Microsoft Commercial Marketplace includes Microsoft AppSource and Azure Marketplace. Each storefront serves unique customer requirements and different target audiences, so publishers can ensure solutions are available to the right customers. For applications that integrate with Microsoft 365 products, visit appsource.microsoft.com. Get solutions tailored to your industry that work with the products you already use. For B2B Azure-based solutions, visit azuremarketplace.microsoft.com. Here you can discover, try, and deploy the cloud software solutions you want.
Daryl, one thing I wanted to ask about is an energy solution offered in the Microsoft Commercial Marketplace on AppSource. And that is a Power BI-based solution named the Microsoft Sustainability Calculator. And it helps organizations see the carbon footprint of the workloads running under their Azure subscriptions. Now, this is a different way of people thinking about consumption and savings on their cloud workloads. And I'm wondering, are more organizations adding energy consumption to their list of attributes that they're monitoring? And if they are, why do so in a cloud environment where the vendor is abstracting away that cost, right? Microsoft is holding that cost of the energy consumption for the consumer. We're not talking on-premise energy consumption anymore.
Again, it's an interesting time to be in the energy business. And David, I would say that this sustainability calculator is really becoming more and more popular with all of our customers across all of the subsegments of the energy industry. And in fact, I can't mention the name of the customer, but there's a customer that we're talking to right now who wanted the inputs from the sustainability calculator to be included in a data estate modernization proposal that we're working on. And I expect that many more companies will be making a similar ask. And you know what? This conversation actually, it fits really nice into our industry priority scenario called Reimagine Energy, the one I just mentioned a few minutes ago, where you have a customer that's concerned about broader sustainability goals and where energy conservation is a big pillar. One of the things, last thing I'll say, is that in order for us to get to where we need to get to in terms of net zero as a company and as the world, frankly, it's a combination of transition to low carbon and no carbon sources of energy, but it's also making sure that we're doing more around conserving energy as well.
That makes a great deal of sense. And speaking of energy conservation, you mentioned earlier that Microsoft has committed itself to being carbon negative by 2030. That's a pretty ambitious goal. So I'm wondering what it means and what we actually have to tangibly do in the next 10 years to achieve that commitment.
Yeah, David, it's ambitious and it's bold. And frankly, it's resonating inside of the tech industry, but it's also resonating with many of our customers around the world in other industries as well. I would say that this announcement has created an incredible amount of interest in the commitments we've made around net zero by 2030 and carbon neutral by 2050. And really, at the current time, we're spending a lot of time. I can speak for the energy industry in particular. We're spending a lot of time with our customers and figuring out how we can work together to deliver on these ambitions. And there are four areas, I would say right now, that we are incredibly engaged with customers on. One is around minimizing emissions. A second around increasing renewable energy generation. A third around enabling the smart grid. And the fourth one around enabling prosumers. Those are customers who are producing energy and want to put it back into the grid. We also announced back in January a $1 billion climate investment fund, which is extraordinary and which is really designed to help accelerate the development of carbon reduction, carbon capture and removal technologies going forward. So lots going on, still early days, but there's a lot of momentum in the system.
I mean, it's really great to hear about our commitment at Microsoft to sustainability and clean energy. So let me ask you this. So what are some of the Microsoft big plays in the energy sector? You know, when you think about our customers and partners that maybe you could share with our listeners.
Yeah, Paul, I think that the one that comes to mind for me is IoT. There's a lot happening in the Internet of Things space, in particular in the area of energy. And I'll share a few big sort of observations that we see coming towards us over the next 2 to 5 years. So by 2022, for example, 30% of oil and gas operations with remote upstream operations will create coordinated connectivity strategies using 5G and LTE satellite and fixed investments that enable pervasive connectivity, which is a big deal. This is a big deal because I remember when I was running an energy business in Angola, we struggled with connectivity. And in many cases, we would have to fly data from the FPSO in the Atlantic Ocean back to shore because we could not get it to go through the digital infrastructure, which you would find pretty amazing in 2017. Another example of something that's going to happen is by 2023, 50% of electricity, gas, and water companies will have deployed augmented reality, wearables, AI, and robotics to the field technicians. And it will really help accelerate their capabilities. And we know based on early results that it improves safety, and it will also help reduce maintenance costs up to 25%, again, using IoT. And lastly, I'll mention that by 2025, solar and wind capacity will be managed through asset performance management platforms, improving capacity factors at least 5% in solar and 10% in wind energy projects. So some really exciting things happening in the area of IoT. I'll say a couple other words about IoT because I think it's important. And we think about it also in the context of our industry priority scenarios. When we think about Operate for the Future, for example, when I think about how IoT is impacting that, it's really around grid asset maintenance, really helping operate the grid and actually minimize the downtime and risk associated with keeping it healthy and bringing it up and back online when it's offline. And when I think about something like the IPS transition to clean, it's really around emissions monitoring and how we're helping energy operators to monitor emissions in a real-time way and make their emissions data more readily available and working towards, as they all work towards, targets that are associated with cleaner and more sustainable energy. And as you're also thinking about what they can do to really reduce greenhouse gases. So lots happening in the IoT space.
Yeah, it's great. Great to hear, Daryl. I mean, just kind of pulling it all together, and I'll kind of throw a question out there to you. So it's fascinating, of course, to hear your experiences of being in the field and being in industry. So now being, of course, at Microsoft and the technology company, you know, we've talked about leveraging technology to help, you know, kind of industry with things like artificial intelligence, IoT. We're helping improve the customer experience. You know, what's it like, and what gets you most excited? You must be like a kid in the candy jar now, being on the other side at the technology company. You can now say, I now have the technology assets to solve all those hard problems, you know, in the field. So, you know, and what gets you most excited, or what, you know, what can you share now being on the other side of the technology company?
I think the thing that gets me most excited, Paul, yeah, there are a few things that really excite me. One is that the industry, the energy industry, is got an insatiable appetite for partnership in a way that it has not had it before. There was a time in the industry when it looked inside of itself for solutions and for answers to problems. And I see across all of the energy sectors, subsectors, a desire to form unusual partnerships with companies like Microsoft and or new startups who are working on some of the tougher problems facing the energy sector. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is that I'm really, really excited about the fact that there's a lot of momentum around the energy transition in the startup community, in the traditional and old school energy business, and even with companies like Microsoft and some of our competitors. And I believe the third thing that really excites me is that I believe there's an incredible amount of power and opportunity in us figuring out how to intersect the potential, the capability of Microsoft with the aspirations of the industry. And my belief is that if we can make those two things intersect, we can only make the world safer and cleaner, and we can only make energy more accessible to the folks who need it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I just want to, you know, restate what you said, which is, you know, we are a partnering company. And so that's kind of key, is working with our customers. And as you said, even working with our startups, you know, we're all about, you know, kind of the partnership, providing the technology innovation, but, you know, our customers and our partners to drive then innovation on the platform. So that's really great to hear.
You know, Daryl, I was browsing around for energy solutions in the Azure marketplace, and I found that many of them focused on single family housing, home monitoring capabilities and the like. And, you know, I wonder how important this really is. We've been talking about some really big initiatives by really big energy corporations. So how important is sustainable single family housing energy and the optimization of it in the grand scheme of things?
David, it's a great question. It's so important. And I think about this, your question in the context of our scenario, reimagining energy. Smart homes is one of the scenarios that we are thinking about in the context of reimagining energy. And we've highlighted this for a few reasons. A recent study showed that 49% of the respondents would allow their homes to be controlled by devices controlled by a third party if they thought that they could benefit from it. And the most common request was around the electricity bill. 91% of the people said, if I could turn over monetization of the system that controls my electricity and get a better rate out of it, I would be happy to turn it over to a third party. So there's an incredible opportunity for us in the area of smart homes to really help folks manage their lives, but also manage the usage and ultimately the expenses associated with it. I also think about things like hot water heaters. As an example of a load that is found in a home. And we're working with a partner called OSO Hot Water in connecting their heaters to Azure to be able to better manage the energy use in a sustainable way. Hot water heaters contribute a lot to the monthly costs of running a home, and there's more we can do to help manage that area of a home as well. In addition to that, we are continuing to look for opportunities in the context of smart homes around how do we better leverage and provide assistance with connected devices, with smart meters, with EV chargers, as well as smart storage going forward.
So Daryl, just, you know, as we kind of come to a close, our listeners always love to hear, you know, kind of any partner or customer stories that they can relate to. So is there anything you know, kind of in particular, you like to leave all listeners with a compelling story from either our partners or our customers?
Yes, Paul. I would say that one of the stories that I will share in closing is really from a Microsoft partnership with SSE Electricity. It's Ireland's largest provider of 100% green energy. And their mission is to bring solar panels to schools across Ireland. And this project, this new project, demonstrates the feasibility of agreements and what's possible when we think about installing solar panels on rooftops and having that distributed across towns within a grid. And this uses IoT. This uses IoT, our IoT, to really help the community deliver clean energy into an area that needs it, and to deliver energy that will ultimately go a long way towards Ireland's journey to towards net zero and beyond. So I'm really, really excited about that project in particular. I also think about a project we've got, and this is the last one I'll mention, with Vattenfall and Microsoft, where we've developed a joint first-of-its-kind solution. It's the world's first hourly 24/7 matching of renewable energy. Energy providers can more easily understand the demands for renewable energy when it's done hour by hour and take action hour by hour to meet that demand. And this matching of consumption to production drives true market demand for renewable energy and allows the system to truly integrate into the grid in a more efficient way. Those are two projects that come to mind when I think about the journey that we're on.
Winding down here, Daryl, this has been a great conversation. And I wonder if you could name just a couple of places maybe where listeners could go more about our initiatives and your team's work. And we can link those up in the show notes so that people can actually get to them and do some more reading and learning.
Yeah, David, I would say there are a few places where folks can go to learn more about what we're doing. Microsoft for Energy is a great landing point. I would also suggest people look at the Microsoft Ignite event. Judson Althoff, our fearless leader, did a very interesting video for Ignite. We've also got a Microsoft Transform blog as well. And you can also follow me on social media as well, on LinkedIn and on Twitter.
We'll definitely get that hooked up for you. Some of the stories that you referenced today, too, we'll make sure and link those up in the show notes as well. And of course, that Microsoft sustainability calculator, that thing needs to be seen by everyone who's considering Azure.
Absolutely.
So, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been an absolutely great conversation.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm glad we finally got to connect, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the time we had to spend together today. And I'm really excited about everything that's underway, and I'm so happy you were interested in talking to me about it today. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Azure for Industry podcast, the show that explores how industry experts are transforming our world with Azure. For show topic recommendations or other feedback, reach out to us at industrypodcast@microsoft.com.